He had planted this church during his second missionary trip. It was in AD 51. And after some difficulties there, he developed a strong bond with them. We know this from the book of Acts. In this letter, we see the heart of a caring shepherd come through, like nowhere else in his writing. Reading this book, it feels like we're eavesdropping on a private communication from a loving mentor or something like that. And I want you to feel that when you're reading this. So let me give you an example from my life that might help you understand this. When I was in my 20s, I was asked to lead a small youth group. I took the job seriously, and even though it was a volunteer position, I was investing 40 to 50 hours a week in this little group. With all that effort and all the time we spent together, I completely fell in love with the students. As difficulties and trials came up in their lives, often we walked through them together. We grew tremendously, both spiritually, emotionally, and also in number as a group. We saw God do a lot of really cool things in that group. In that season, our hearts were knit together well. When it was time to move on, after maybe 4 years, this book of Philippians felt so real to me. I had to write a letter to them or something like that, and Philippians was a template that I used. I actually wrote a short 10-page saddle stitch book. Little thing, I put their pictures on the cover, and I used Philippians as an outline. And I told them how much they meant to me. I thanked them for the ministry we had done together and challenged them to press on towards the goal. Perhaps there's a mentor or a parent or a pastor who has been instrumental in your faith. As we read Paul's words, imagine that person has needed to move away, but they just sent you a warm handwritten letter. Let's approach Paul with the open hearts that we would approach that warm letter. Let's pray. God, as we turn to your word today, I pray that you open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. God, prepare us to be transformed by the reading of your word, what your spirit does in us as we're faithful in this habit. Thank you, God, for this place where we can meet as a community spread out over a great distance. I pray that you use this word to knit our hearts together as we pursue you together. Philippians chapter 1. From Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. I always pray with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am sure of this very thing, that the one who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is right for me to think about all of you. For it is right for me to think this about all of you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, all of you became partners in God's grace together with me. For God is my witness that I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love may abound even more and more in knowledge and every kind of insight, so that you can decide what is best, and thus be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that my situation has actually turned out to advance the gospel. The whole Imperial Guard and everyone else knows that I am in prison for the sake of Christ, and most of the brothers and sisters, having confidence in the Lord because of my imprisonment, now more than ever dare to speak the word fearlessly. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do so from love because they know that I am placed here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, because they think they can cause trouble for me in my imprisonment. What is the result? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My confident hope is that I will in no way be ashamed, but that with complete boldness, even now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether I live or die. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. Now, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean productive work for me. Yet I don't know which I prefer. I feel torn between the two because I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more vital for your sake that I remain in the body. And since I am sure of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for the sake of your progress and joy in the faith, so that what you can be proud of may increase because of me in Christ Jesus when I come back to you. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or whether I remain absent, I should hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, by contending side by side for the faith of the gospel, and by not being intimidated in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of their destruction, but of your salvation, a sign which is from God. For it has been granted to you not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for him. Since you are encountering the same conflict that you saw my face, the same conflict that you saw me face, and now hear that I am facing. Good chapter. I love this book. Okay, let's recap three things that stood out to me while reading. Number one, Paul was thankful for these people and their partnership in the gospel. He says, from the beginning up to this point, so from the beginning when Paul himself started the church to now when he's in prison, they had a long-term relationship. He wanted to reassure them that even where he was now in prison, God was still working. There was no time for this church to be discouraged that their founder was in jail, because even there, in the midst of chains, God was using Paul to further the gospel, to bring light to the nations, to work the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you see things in your life that are trials for you, but also could be a witness to the gospel? Or do we see opportunities to minister even in our pain or our struggles? Perhaps just being faithful in our trial, it shows that we have hope in a good and caring God. I have found that hope in my struggles, it's contagious. Don't overlook that. Someday I'll record a personal story of mine, my personal story. And you can see that the most significant times in my faith journey have been when God shows himself moving through the hell that we sometimes walk through. Okay, number two. Paul says in verse 21 of this first chapter that for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. What he means by this is that if he is alive, he will continue doing the work of Christ. His participation in the mission of God will continue on. This is, of course, the best for them, to have him stick around. And Paul seems willing to stay and do the work. But to die, that's gain. That's even better for him, he says, because he's with Jesus. I feel like the only people I hear talk this way are people who are very well on in their years, and they learn to be okay with considering what's next. But I wonder how much more joyful our lives would be and how much of a better witness we could be if we really believed that and lived that. Like losing our life here would actually be a gain because being with Jesus is so wonderful. And three, he says in verse 27, Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, or whether I remain absent, I should hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, by contending side by side for the faith of the gospel. What does it mean for us to be standing firm in one spirit? Are we united in one spirit with the members of our local church body? Or are we caught up in arguments or competition or gossip or whatever? And what does it look like to contend, quote, side by side? I think many churches preach a mission that is about sharing your personal faith one-on-one. And that's good, and that's important. But what does it look like here to be contending side by side, to actually be the church doing God's work side by side outside the walls of the building? Things to think about. I love this book, and I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow as our new
So takeaways.
Well, he leads off with grace and peace to you. And for all of my life, the pastor had started his sermon with that statement. So I felt warm about it right from the beginning.
Nice. Yeah, I often do that. But not all the time. Yeah. Well,
times have changed. I'm old. I was raised in a time when patterns were.
In seminary, in my preaching class, actually, they encourage such so that the first words you say should be the way you are sharing that message, out of grace and out of peace. Which goes against a lot of fire and brimstone pastors. But nice. Grace and peace. Other people's reflections?
Well, it seems very genuine, you know, that he really loves these people. And I mean, he genuinely cares for them. So it's, to me, it's that warmth, you know, comes through in the words that he writes to them.
Mm-hmm.
When you were just talking, I thought of Trudy's mom, Margaret. I mean, years ago, we were to, you know, how are you today? You know, and we were to say, I'm grateful. And I think Margaret probably still does it today.
Yes.
And, you know, so that just stuck out in my mind. I mean, it just seems like Paul is so grateful for the people at Philippi and for the church at Philippi.
Yep.
You mentioned verse 21, and that struck me. He says, quoting, "For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." I have a parallel Bible, and the Living Bible says this about verse 21. For me, living means opportunities for Christ, and dying, well, that's better yet.
Yeah.
And what an incredible way to put it. And I just don't, you know, I don't think that way. I mean, I like things going on here and better yet. I don't remember the context, but in the last month or two, Tony Dungy was an old interview, but it was re-interviewed. I don't know if you know Tony Dungy, the football coach, but his son died a number of years ago. And he was asked the question, if you could bring your son back to life, would you do it? And I thought, what a no-brainer. And he said, well, and almost the same as Paul's words, and maybe that's what he's reflecting on. He said, he's in a better place now than he would be if he came back. And I thought, as a parent, what an amazing statement. What an amazing statement of faith. It was just incredible. So. Kind of reflects on what Paul's verse 21 here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Trudy?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the verse here. Verse 28, well, 27, going into 28, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Mm-hmm. That stuck out for me because it's very hard for me to talk about my faith. It's a very personal thing. Mm-hmm. And so I try to live by example. Mm-hmm. I would say more than specifically talk about my faith, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then just the reminder, you know, don't be afraid by those that oppose. Mm-hmm. Stand firm. Okay.
And the beginning of, I agree, Trudy, the beginning of the verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a challenge. That's a real challenge for us mm-hmm. daily.
Right.
Minute by minute.
Right.
But very important.
Mm-hmm. You will get more of that laid out in chapter 2 of what that worthiness is like. Mm-hmm. And continuing that reading, this is what I found funny from verse 29, I believe. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had that privilege to suffer for Jesus? How do you interpret that?
Good question.
I mean, I think we all have struggles mm-hmm. in life, but that's different than, you know, actually suffering for your faith. I think about that a lot. You know, if I were challenged, you know, do you believe in Jesus Christ or I'll cut your head off? Well, that's fine. But if someone were to say, well, you know, I'm going to kill your grandchildren, you know, I often wonder about that. Would I be steadfast in my faith? I hope so. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I've really been put to the test in my life journey yet for my faith. And hopefully I am by example. Mm-hmm. You know, living as an example of a Christian, I should say, without, you know, just one event, you know, culminating, you know, that faith and that challenge.
Well, what are the sufferings that Paul is referring to just in this first chapter? What did we heard?
He's in prison, right?
Yep, he's in prison.
Yeah.
What else?
May we assume he was tortured? Is this a time when lions or, you know,
I am in chains.
Yep, he's in chains.
Yeah.
He could have been killed at any time. He could have been executed.
He could have been for want for food and nourishment and drink.
Yeah, and how did you survive when you were in prison? Did they have the 3 meals a day, the cable TV, the fitness gym, the library?
He could have been in a dark cave. No light, no natural light.
Right.
Aphrodite is bringing him finances when he said just sharing with me, that mm-hmm. people on the outside of the prison had to give the prisoners the sustenance in which to live. Mm-hmm. So instead of the state providing, it had to come from outside. Mm. That's something we just don't think about in our
One of my favorite theologians to think about at a time like this is Bonhoeffer.
Yep.
All of his writings just amaze me. And Beth Gay's book about him talks how he won over the guards. He never gave in for a minute to fear or those things. I just, that image of him just is a wow for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what Paul is doing while he's in prison. Yeah. He's sharing with the guards. He's witnessing to them. Mm-hmm. He probably has some privileges that other prisoners don't have because of how he presents himself. So he's suffering for being in prison, having lack of what he would need to survive. What else is he suffering from that he spoke of?
Being away from them.
Being away from them.
And another thing I thought was interesting, just for the fact that they allowed, a letter like this, to be written and taken out of prison.
Right.
I mean, my gosh. I mean, the Roman prisons, from what little I've read about them, I'm so surprised that all of these letters to the different churches were, to me, that's probably a miracle in itself. Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. And then at verse 15, he speaks to some of the issues. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But others from goodwill. Those who proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel, the others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying they're jealous of his success? These are other preachers?
Yeah. And we're going to hear that more in chapter 3. Mm-hmm. But the contention that we face, I mean, even in our own world today, how do you see rivalry and the contention that we have among Christians?
Yeah. A lot.
What are some examples of that?
Well, the two recent ones, obviously, are how different Christian groups respond to the pandemic and to how is Bible based to this or Bible based to that, and pretty adamant in their own ways, and big differences. And then the more recent one, which is, we've had pandemics forever, but this one is recent, but the more long lasting one is the racial strife and how different. It's just, for me, a blessing to see that the Christian witnesses and mostly Black ministers in the stance they're taking publicly. I think there have been some very good comments and very good leadership. But also, it's pretty obvious the many, many Christians are involved in that movement. In this, who knows what's going to come of it, but it seems like it might be groundbreaking new territory up ahead.
Yep. So these contentions that we live with, they've been there from the beginning. And if we remember, Paul was on the other side of it, if you just want to expand religion as well. He started persecuting the church, and now here he is in prison for it. And in the midst of all of this, he says, rejoice. Live in joy. And so one person says, chapter 1 is all about rejoice in Christ, for that is our life, as we heard him say, as you brought up, Larry, about the living, to dying is gain. That, and I share this often, do we live as if we want to present heaven on earth? And that is our witness to to this world. Why would anyone want to be a Christian based on how you live your life? There's the challenge. Gene, was there a little conviction there? So in all of this, as we read Philippians, for us to be transformed by faith, and that statement to live a life worthy of Christ, what does that look like? How would you define that?
Say that again, Rob.
To live a life worthy of Christ, how would you define that? Does that mean being a goody two-shoes?
No, but I do think that it is to find opportunities when we have difficult times like we've had since March, ways to help and be of service. I think that's the Christ-like thing to do.
Mm-hmm. What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yesterday on the news, they were talking about these little libraries, the street libraries, are being filled with food.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, how wonderful that people thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. We have one at my building that became a little food pantry. Instead of a free little library. And that was very heartening to see that happen. Back in probably April that switched over.
It's so wonderful to see people think of these things to do.
Yes.
The people that are making masks and just delivering them. Goodness of their heart. I go, wow. Yeah. Special.
I know, I think I've had more head slaps to myself, like, why didn't I think of that? I mean, they're all such wonderful ideas and so simple. I mean, I don't know. I just, when I take care of my grandchildren a couple days a week, usually Monday and Tuesdays, I mean, I just think that, okay, this is how I could, you know, be worthy of a life of Christ, you know, to talk about Jesus and sing songs and, you know, just be kind and patient and, you know, not a old grandma that gets impatient and stuff. And, you know, so that's kind of my small little world of, you know, trying to live a life worthy of Christ.
It's beautiful, though.
You are a wonderful model for that. That's exactly what I was talking about before with, you know, being a model.
Yeah.
Having had wonderful models, and so now you are a model for your grandchildren.
Yeah. Yeah, carry it on. Mm-hmm. Now, my husband that just got home from work, he probably thinks, well, why don't you treat me like those grandkids? Right, Letty? No, just kidding.
Well, Trudy, you bring the perfect segue to my close. As we go through this book, just as I asked who's instrumental in your faith, ask God to identify who you can be instrumental to in their faith. And pray about that. And being worthy of Christ, this quote by Rick Wetmore that I posted on Facebook: hate no one, no matter how much they wronged you. Live humbly, no matter how wealthy you become. Think positively, no matter how hard life is. Give much, even if you've been given little. Forgive all, especially yourself, and never stop praying for the best for everyone. And we started with the Emmanuel 9. And in my message on Sunday, I lifted up their witness. First, those who were gathered, how he almost didn't carry out the mission because they were so nice to him. And then at his hearing, the survivors of those who were killed said, "We're praying for your soul and we forgive you."
Wow. Yeah.
So we have contemporaries who are living as Paul did that can be a witness for us and encourage us to be that here. And in one of my notes, where did I put it? The fact that we are given opportunity almost moment by moment of whether we witness to this God of love who gave his son so that we might live in salvation and not in trying to find our worth in this world, but we are already worthy because we are in Christ, and to share that with others. So, closing questions, comments, suggestions, concerns, as you walk away from this?
Can you send out that quote that you just read?
Oh, yeah. It's on Facebook, and I'll have it in my message on Sunday as well. But, yeah, I can email it to you as well.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yep.
And that Luther Seminary site, is it accessible? Just Google that?
It's wide open. Enterthebible.org.
Okay. I wrote it down, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's fabulous. So my goal is to try
to daily. Whoops, sorry.
Go ahead.
They also have a daily devotional that I really appreciate.
Yeah, we have that online.
Yeah.
If you go to St. Luke's.
Yep.
The God Pause.
Yes, and last week, all week, was Pastor Paul Formal.
Oh, was it really?
Oh, huh.
I haven't been watching it. I apologize.
It's my 5 o'clock in the morning duty.
Oh, my goodness.
Good to see you.
Was it live? Because Phil would be up at that time.
He would be up, but no, it wasn't live. But I did send him an email or a text a couple times commenting on his word. What a guy.
Yes.
And now I go from this to our confirmation kids who haven't been in person together since March. We're socially distancing to meet in the pyramid.
Is there a confirmation class to be confirmed in 2020?
There is a confirmation class to be confirmed in 2020. Yep. And we'll figure out how we do that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Taking moment by moment. And then just some fun things, because you're just online with me. We're not going to go to Appalachia. Good neighbors of Appalachia are going to come to us, and they're in conversation for us to do some work for some of the 700 different buildings that got damaged in some way, shape, or form. So working with, if you've heard, Urban Ventures is a big piece of that, so we'll probably tie in with them. And we'll invite the congregation at this point. We're looking at inviting everyone to be a part of that. And last but not least, it looks like we'll be able to do band shell worship at Normandale Lake so far. Just confirmed that this week. So Labor Day weekend for worship.
So. And drive in on Sunday.
Drive in on Sunday. Come and enjoy.
How does the technology work for that?
We simply have an FM transmitter, and we'll feed our mics into that transmitter, and then you'll get it right on your radio. We're hoping it's 87.7 looks like a good one, and inviting the neighbors to tune in while they're in their homes, maybe. Sit out on the front lawns. So, well, with that said, my tradition is whoever begins the study in prayer gets to invite somebody else to pray. Is there anyone who'd like to, instead of being chosen, choose to pray us out?
Go ahead, Gene.
Oh, Rudy, here's my rule. If you invite, if you
call someone out,
yeah, you end up being the one who does it.
Oh, yay, Judy.
So thanks for doing that, Judy. If you volunteer another, you volunteered yourself.
Well, then I would say I'd like to pray the Lord's Prayer.
Awesome.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, thank you so much. Does this work for you next week as well?
Yes, it should.
Yeah. I believe so. Yes. Thank you.
If you haven't had the chance to do the Bible Project video, it's just about 9 minutes long. That's on the news as well for Philippians. And then we'll be looking at chapter 2 next week.
Okay. Hey, Pastor Rob, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
On the Revelation, those links,
yep.
Are they still good links?
I think so. We're not supposed to keep them long because that was material piloted to us.
Okay.
But if any of you who have experienced it want to do a quick little write-up of yay or nay so that they can learn from our experience, that would be welcomed.
Okay. I was thinking of maybe listening if you recorded some of the 1 o'clock class. It's so good to hear perspectives of both classes, is my thought.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And I hope, are you guys all okay that I started the recording late? I started when I put the video on. Are you okay with this being shared?
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's just the audio. It's not visual.
Oh, thank goodness. On my part.
I was wondering why the recording button was on.
Yep. I apologize. I should have asked before I did it.
No, that's fine. You're good.
Missions, I'd like to say I really enjoyed going back right after the class and re-listening.
Yeah.
To it. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you for that.
All right. Well, prayers and blessings to all of you, and keep praying for our young people as they gather now.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.